Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Well, I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Good Saturday to you good people out there. Welcome to the show. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to call into the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And please be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come on here to indulge in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, trolling, random insults, things of that sort, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable in your interactions on this program, okay? And, just keep that in mind, all right? So, hope you all had a very good Thanksgiving. My wife and I, we headed up to Washington, D.C. That's where I grew up. And really, we weren't there to see family or anything like that. That wasn't my intentions. We had some personal business to take care of and didn't get taken care of, so we got to head back up there again in another week or so. But while I was up there, stopped by, saw my mom. Saw some other family members and whatever, and had a great time. And I will have to admit, this was probably the best Thanksgiving I've ever had. Had a really good time. Spent three nights in the little town where I grew up. It was called Oxon Hill. It's Oxon Hill, Fort Washington area. That's where I grew up. And, I was reminiscing a little bit, some places I hadn't seen since I left in the 80s, and I'm like, wow, look at all this. I haven't seen this area in a long time, and everything has changed up in D.C. But I tell you one thing, I miss my family a lot. And one of the highlights of my visit up there was seeing my niece. I hadn't seen my niece since she was 7 years old, or as she said back then, 7 and a half. And it was good to see her and my sister-in-law and whatever. But I tell you one thing, I might miss my family, but I will not miss D.C. Man, I tell you, you think you got some crazy drivers wherever you live. Like down here, I live in Durham, North Carolina, and we got some crazy drivers down here. But man, they pale in comparison to those up in D.C. Them rascals up in D.C. is like crazy, But hey, that's how it is. That's the nature of the beast and whatever. But I'm back here ready to take on another show. We'll let everybody know before I get started with the show. I won't be having a show on the weekend, on the Christmas weekend or the New Year's weekend. So I won't be having a show on either one of those days. So just want to put that out there, get that out with you, you know, so you can prepare for that. So it won't be a last minute thing for you or anything like that. Okay. So for the next three Saturdays, I should have a program. Well, three Saturdays, including today. But after today, the next two Saturdays, we'll have a program. And after that, it'll be a period of 2 weeks where I won't have a program. And then I'll see you on the other side, God willing, in the year 2022. So just wanted to get that out the way. And let's get on with the program. I didn't think I would be talking about this today because, you know, the way the news cycle is going these days, it's almost like you can put a show together at the spur of a moment. And I had this show ready to go last week. And I didn't think, you know, I was like, okay, I hope nothing really big happens because I really want to talk about these subjects today. And this week has been somewhat slow, you know, news-wise, you know, but so I'm still going to talk about these. So the first thing I want to talk about is the Zach Stacy case. Zach Stacy. Okay. Zach Stacy is a former NFL player. Used to play with the, I think he played with the Jets. I think he played with the Giants. I think it's just the Jets. I think he played with the Jets, which, you know, he's already on my bad side already because I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. But anyway, that's neither here or there. I digress. Of course, right now I'm not too much of a fan of the NFL because they want to go woke right now. But anyway, Zach Stacy, big dude. My wife brought him to my attention a couple of weeks ago. Oh, let me position myself in front of the microphone here. Yeah, but my wife brought this dude to my attention. I'd never heard of Zach Stacy. But she showed me a video of this dude beating down his girlfriend. And he beat her down brutally. I mean, he threw her into the television and beat her down. And those of you all who know me know that I have a philosophy. If you're going to beat down your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, you don't deserve that person. And I don't understand why men do this. Why they, you know, they know they're much bigger and stronger than their wives or their girlfriends are. And they feel like, hey, you know what? I'll just use my strength to beat her down. Now, me, I'm almost 300 pounds. Last time I weighed myself, I was 280-something pounds. And my wife, she's probably around 120, 130 maybe. And I know that with a flick of a wrist, I could probably halfway kill my wife, which is the reason why I don't beat my wife, because she is that much weaker than I am. And I don't understand these men who go around beating their wives or their girlfriends or whatever. And to me, it's a cowardly type of thing. You're going to beat your, I mean, and she, it might be for the smallest thing. She may have, saw a man say, hey girl. And she look up and smile, say, hey back. And you get mad because she's talking to another man. Why are you talking to that man? And then, I'm not talking to the man, you know, y'all. And then it turns into this big old brouhaha, and then he's ready to halfway kill you because he thinks you're trying to get up with this other man. Not only does it show your insecurity, it shows your weakness. But this dude is big. When all I had to do was see a headshot, I saw his mugshot. I was like, dog, that dude big, because his head looks massive. But here's the thing. This is the thing that bothers me in all of this, though. How many of you all out there have heard ongoing coverage about Zach Stacy. And be honest, how many of y'all have heard of him? How many of you all have heard this case? You know, I'll wait. Because this is a case, this is things like this, it's incidents like this that really bother me when it comes to our faithful, quote unquote, very loosely said, mainstream news media. And I can probably tell you why the news media didn't really want to track after this one. Number one, Zach Stacy is a black guy. Number two, his girlfriend is white. Think about that. Think about that for a minute. Zach Stacy is black. And she's white, so we'll mention it in passing, and you know we'll be done with it. But were it the other way around, we'd still be talking about it. We've been talking about it for about 2 or 3 weeks by now, and this is how the media conditions you to respond in a certain way. They'll put the focus on certain stories. And because these stories are being blasted at us almost 24/7, we tend to believe what the media is saying. And we take their word for it. But the way this man beat down his wife or his girlfriend was uncalled for. I mean, he threw her into the TV. I mean, he picked her up like she was just a bag of rice and threw her into the TV. Probably broke the TV. That's how hard he threw her. Do you hear anyone talking about Zach Stacy today? Of course you don't. Because Zach Stacy, he's a black guy. We don't want to be known as racist. You know, and maybe the white people understand how we feel now when they do the same thing to us. No Al Sharpton, no Jesse Jackson, no Benjamin Crump, no Joy Reid, none of them. This story is from about, when was this story? It's from November the 19th. It says, former NFL player Zach Stacy is in police custody after disturbing video surfaced appearing to show Stacy assaulting his ex-girlfriend. Orlando police took Stacy into custody after an arrest warrant was issued out of Oakland, Florida on Wednesday. Stacy was arrested Thursday night at Orlando International Airport as he exited an inbound flight from Nashville, Orlando police spokeswoman Heidi Rodriguez said in a statement. Go on. According to the arrest warrant, police responded to a home in Oakland, Florida on November 13th in response to a domestic disturbance. When officers arrived, they found the victim, who appeared to be emotionally distraught, wearing a torn shirt with food in her hair. The warrant stated, police also stated in the warrant that they observed a television that had been knocked over after the perpetrator threw the victim into it. Graphic video from the incident shows a man who police have identified as Stacy striking the woman multiple times, then picking her up and tossing her into a television, causing it to fall on top of her. The woman is heard on the video pleading with Stacy to stop. Stacy is also seen violently throwing the victim into a baby walker on the ground before he walks out of the home. Now, this is going on while their child, I think it's their son, is watching. Kristen Evans, who identifies herself as the victim in the video and Stacy's ex-girlfriend, posted a video to her Instagram account. In a statement to CNN, Evans says, "Thank you for supporting my children and me during this difficult time. Our safety is the number one concern right now. After a terrifying experience, I am grateful that Zach Stacy is currently in police custody. At present, I have filed a restraining order and plan on filing a civil complaint. I am sincerely asking the NFL and football commissioner Roger Goodell. Never mind. To confront the reality that players are experiencing PTSD from their time playing pro football. In particular, as linked to repeated concussions, brain injury, and other bodily trauma, as it causes symptomatic changes to the player's character, including increased irritability, angry outbursts, and aggressive behavior. According to the warrant, two children, including a child that Stacy shares with the victim, were both inside at the time of the incident. Now, this was on CNN. This article was written on by CNN. Now, I'm sure there were other news outlets that reported on this, but how many of you all out there have heard extensive coverage about this case? Of course, you're not going to hear anything about it because it has to do with a black man beating down a white woman. And a lot of you all out there probably like, oh, okay, well, now the white people know how it feels when how it feels when a white person does the same thing to a black person, which this has nothing to do with race. And see, that's the problem today. We make everything about race. But I just thought I'd throw that one out there at you all. I don't have the link to it. Let's see if I can do this, and I'll give you the link to this story. You can check it out for yourself and come to your own conclusion about what is going on. So, but I'm going to go on from that story. Let's see. Okay, we got that done. Let me go to my next story, because there are a couple of stories. Folks, one of the things that you all, and I don't, not unless you're living under a rock, you can feel that, you know, our world, especially here in the United States, is starting to turn woke. And being woke means you're aware of what's going on with people in minority groups and, you know, and the struggles that they're going through. And now you're seeing it, you know, for the first time. They call that being woke. But the problem with being woke is being woke means you're going to turn around, you're going to twist some of these stories into oppression against people in minority groups. And this one here, let me pull this one up if I can. And this comes from the Gateway Pundit. This story comes from the Gateway Pundit. And let me pull it up here right quick. And this has to do with an organization, a so-called charitable organization known as the Salvation Army. Now, you all know about the Salvation Army. Every year around this time, you'll see the people out in the front of the stores ringing a bell, you know, asking for donations, you know, to help poor people, things like that. And a lot of times, I would say more often than not, I would clink some change into their little red kettles and, you know, because, you know, I can be generous like that sometimes. But now the Salvation Army is becoming woke because, once again, like I said, this story is at the Gateway Pundit. It says Salvation Army wants white donors to offer sincere apology for their racism. I'll say that again. Let me repeat that again. Salvation Army wants white donors to offer sincere apology for their racism. Now, when you read that headline, it already makes the assumption that all white people are racist, that it is in their DNA, and by them simply being white, that means that they're also racist. And it says it wants white donors to offer sincere apology for their racism. So, the Salvation wants its white donors to give it more than just money this Christmas season. Its leadership is also demanding they apologize for being racist. It's part of a push by the Christian charitable organization to embrace the ideas of Black Lives Matter, an activist group working to, among other things, quote-unquote, dismantle white privilege and, quote-unquote, the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. Man, they said that sounds like a page out of Black Lives Matter itself right there. Disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. And I don't know what people have against the family, really. Mother, father, son, daughter. I don't understand what people have against that. I really don't. But let me go on. The Salvation Army's Alexandria-based leadership has created an international social justice commission. And I believe this is in Alexandria, Virginia, which is an area I'm somewhat familiar with because it's right outside of D.C., which has developed and released a resource to educate its white donors, volunteers, and employees called Let's Talk About Racism. It asserts Christianity is institutionally racist. Calling for white Christians to repent and offer a sincere apology to blacks for being antagonistic to black people or the culture, values, and interests of the black community. Now, they want to throw Christianity in here. And see, this is the thing that bothers me a lot about these pro-black groups. And some of these groups say that they believe in Jesus and that they're Christians too. But then they'll turn around and say that Christianity is a white man's religion. And they'll make a distinction between white Christians and black Christians. The only distinction between a white Christian and a black Christian is skin color. That's the only distinction there is. But they throw Christianity in here to say that Christianity plays a part in this because they favor white people over black people. That's basically what they're saying. And I don't like the idea of white Christians and black Christians anyway, because like I said, the only difference between them is the skin color. That's the only difference between them. They're not two separate Christianities. There's not a white Christianity and a black Christianity. Christianity is Christianity. We follow the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I look, folks, about this color of Jesus thing, you know, people want, oh, Jesus was black. I don't give a rip pair of jeans what color Jesus was. And see, we're so focused on skin color, we totally miss the truth. And see, now the Salvation Army has fallen into this same trap. But anyway, let me go on. In accompanying study guide on racism, Salvation Army authors explain that all whites are racist even if they don't realize it. You all been listening to too much CNN. You've been listening to too much Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and any of the other members of the Apostles of Blackness out there. And see, you got white people who are starting to grab this, and now they're starting to, you know, oh, I am so sorry for my racism. Even though you haven't even committed an act of racism ever in your life, but all of a sudden you want to go into the white guilt mode and say, oh, I am so sorry for my racism. I am so sorry for my privilege that I have shown. Oh, black people, please, I apologize for it. You didn't do anything. And this is where we come to today. And To you guilty white people out there, do you think this is actually earning you favors with the apostles of blackness? No, it's not. All that they want to see is you lick their boots and kiss their tails, and they will still treat you like dirt. You're not gaining any ground with the black community by kissing their tail. This is what makes me so mad about guilty white people. Let me pull this garbage up. Oh, okay. And it doesn't have a proper link. Study guide on racism. Colonel Richard Munn, Director, International Social Justice Commission, the Salvation Army. I might have to check this out later. I didn't know this was in a PDF form. But yeah, the Salvation Army is gone woke now, folks. And they want you to kiss black tail, just like everybody else is trying to do now, to appease their, I guess you could say, their moral masters. Because black people don't do anything wrong. We don't commit crimes. We are the nicest people in the world. We don't do anything wrong. We just skip around, you know, in the tulips and sniff flowers and play with butterflies. And these evil white people had to come in and mess up everything. This is what's going on today, people. Everyone's getting woke now. And so now when I go and see those bell ringers in front of the Salvation Army, you're not getting a thin red cent from me. And I hope you work for the Salvation Army, and I hope you hear my message loud and clear. You're not getting a thin red dime from me, because basically all you're doing, you're supposed to be taking these donations to be helping out those who are less fortunate during this season, but you're going to take it and you're going to dig into this racist thing. That's all you're going to do. So don't expect a dime from me. Which, in a way, it kind of hurts me a little bit, because I used to love seeing them people ring them bells. I go up there, put my change in there and everything. Don't expect anything from me, Salvation Army. And you can sit there and talk about, oh, we're doing the work of the Lord. No, you're not. Not being woke. If you're walking in this wokeness and everything, you're not doing the work of the Lord, because wokeness is based on a lie. And I don't care what you think. But I saw this, I said, y'all have got to be kidding me. And you know what? Basically, I was thinking about this last week when I was thinking about how they got rid of some of the icons on some of the brand names like Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's, and everything. And basically, the Ku Klux Klan doesn't have to do anything today. All they have to do is just sit back and say, hey, you know what? These woke people, they're doing our job for us. They got rid of Aunt Jemima. We don't have to see that black face on the pancake box anymore. They got rid of Uncle Ben's. We don't have to see that black man on a bag of rice anymore. Got rid of the cream of wheat man. We don't have to see that black man on a box of cream of wheat anymore. I mean, come on. y'all doing the work. Y'all doing the work that the KKK could never have accomplished. Give yourselves a hand, woke people. Come on. Give yourselves a hand. Oh, you're a Miami fan? I knew it was something I liked about you. Bring it, boy ye. Let me shout out to Bring It, Boy Ye in the house. Sarge in the house. I think that's Pianki in my phone queue, and Iredale Harris in my phone queue. Shout out to all you people out there. Continuing on with talking about the ridiculousness. Excuse me. I got to keep myself positioned in front of this microphone, because if I turn away, you know, it fades off a bit. But I'm still talking about this nonsense of this wokeness that's going on in the world today. This crusade against white people, because white people, because you are white, you have some type of privilege or some type of racism within you, which means most of the people in the United States are probably racist anyway, even if you're black. And I'll tell you why. Because most black people in this country, they got some white in them. I know I do. I got Scottish-Irish in me. So I must be a racist because I got that little bit in me. Louis Farrakhan, he got a lot of racism in him. He looked like someone put a lot of cream in his coffee. So he must be racist. But a lot of us in this country, probably most of us, 99% of us, we got some racism in us because we got some white in us. What are you going to say about that? Yeah, Sarge, yeah. We're magic Negroes too, you know, so. Yeah. Yeah, but I saw that. I said, you got to be kidding me. The Salvation Army has gone woke now. I already dropped the NFL. I dropped Disney. Yeah, Disney. I had a Disney Plus subscription for about a year and a half. Dropped them. A friend of mine was asking me, was I going to see the Spider-Man movie I think it's this month. And those of you all who know me know I love Spider-Man. I love me some Spider-Man. And I told him, I said, no, I'm not watching it because they are owned by Disney. Marvel is owned by Disney. And Disney has gone woke. So I said, okay. I told my wife a couple of months ago, got rid of our subscription with Disney Plus. Because I was like, y'all not pitching that woke mess to me. Might have to get rid of a few other people too. NFL got rid of them because, you know, they want to go woke and, you know, they want to cry and moan about the name Redskins and they changed their name and everything and the Colin Kaepernick situation and everything. I say, okay, y'all want to go woke? Okay. A lot of times when I find out what went on in the NFL is because a friend of mine tells me, you know, they say, did you see that game? No, I didn't see it. And it hurts me. It really does. Because I love watching football. I love watching Disney. But you go woke, find you another bloke. Because I don't walk in that wokeness. And we need to get rid of this stuff, people. We need to get rid of this mentality. What happened to just being entertaining? Just to entertain. Why you got to push transvestitism into your material? Or transgenderism? Why you got to push that? Or homosexual couples and all that crazy mess? Why do we got to push in this, oh, we don't have enough black people here, so we got to get more black people. We got to show the black people that we really care about them. Whatever happened to bring in the more qualified black people instead of just saying, oh, we don't have some people were complaining that there are not enough black coaches and black owners in the NFL. Okay, you find me some who are qualified. Hey, they'll probably get it. Get a black person, come up, say, you know what? I want to buy the Miami Dolphins. He got the money. Ain't no one going to keep him from getting the Miami Dolphins. Might be an improvement on the Miami Dolphins because they suck today, but yeah, I digress. They're still in my heart, even though I can't stand the NFL right now. They're still my boys. But why can't we just, you know, I don't, when I go to watch a movie, I don't need to see this woke garbage in here. We got to diversify. No, whenever you hear people say we need more diversity, that what they really mean is we need less white people. That's what that means. We need more diversity. I say like this. Keep the amount of white people you got there and find people who are qualified to join up with them, and there you got your diversity right there. I don't hear anyone crying about the BET awards not awarding white people any of their awards. Oh, we didn't have enough black people get the Academy Awards, you know, the Arts of Academy, whatever it is, the Organization of Academy Arts or whatever they call it. They don't have enough black people. They're racist. 2014, 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture, which in my opinion, they should not have won Best Picture. But then the next year, 2015, not one black actor or black movie got nominated for an Academy Award. And everyone's like, oh, that's racist. Wait a minute. Do you all have short-term memory loss or something? You do remember that it was a black movie that won Best Picture the previous year? Now, if you get us some better black actors, because let me tell you all something. I'm just going to say this right now. I'm going to say this here and now. With the exception of people like Morgan Freeman, Denzel Washington, maybe a couple of more in there, we don't really have a lot of good black actors. We really don't. There's not a surplus of good black actors out there. A lot of times, you know, people say, oh, visit, see this movie, and it's always a black movie. Why can't you tell me some other movie? You know, I got to see a black movie. But anyway, it's not a surplus of very good black actors out there. And a lot of these black movies that I watch, they just bore me to death because they don't know how to act. They're always talking about booty and flying off with the cuss words and trying to act all silly and everything. I don't want to see that. Just give me something that's entertaining. I don't watch a movie so that I can, you know, be up to speed on the latest social justice cause. I watch a movie to be entertained. One of my favorite movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Love that movie. Love it. Might have to stop watching them too because I think they've been owned by Disney. But I don't care if you're white or black. If the movie is good, I'm going to enjoy it. And you know, I get some of these people, they tell me, oh, you need to see this movie. And it's always someone about a black person or something. Look, if it's good, it's good. If it ain't, it ain't. That's how I see it. A few years ago, people were talking about Black Panther. And I was excited to see it because Black Panther was one of my favorite superheroes. Now, growing up, his comics were boring. They were dull as a rubber butter knife. But I gotten acquainted with the Black Panther over the years. I was like, yeah, oh man, Marvel movie. Yeah, went there. They called white people colonizers. And the Wakanda Forever. I want to see all that social justice garbage. Now, given Black Panther might be a little bit more conservative than it is liberal, but the movie bored me, especially in the last act. It bored me. The special effects weren't that good. The acting was okay. The action was pretty good, but it really did bore me, especially in that last act. And they overhyped the movie. That's why I couldn't enjoy it, because they overhyped it. So me and my wife, we went to watch the movie because my wife is from Wakanda. And we sat there. My wife, who is straight up African, when it got to about the last half of the movie, she started playing with her iPhone. Because the movie got dull. And then here's the thing. It got nominated for Best Picture. Now, let me tell you all something. If you like the movie, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I really do believe that Black Panther got nominated for Best Picture simply because of blackness. That movie was not that good. It wasn't as good as Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Wasn't as good as that. Wasn't as good as Civil War. Wasn't as good as the Endgame, the movies with Thanos in there. It was not as good as either one of those movies. And see, the thing about Black Panther does his best as a supporting character. He's not really a standalone character. Just like Hawkeye, the guy with the arrows. You know, people say, oh, Hawkeye, all he got is them arrows, you know, and everything. Certain people do not do good as a standalone character. Black Panther is one of them. Captain America can do good as a standalone character. Iron Man can do good as a standalone character. Thor, the Hulk, all of them can do good as a standalone character. But people like Black Panther, Ant-Man, the Wasp, those people, they don't do good as standalone characters. And that's just my opinion on it. I mean, I'm just saying. It's a woke world after all. Sorry. It's a woke world after. Hey, wait a minute. You might want to pin that, Sarge. And I just don't, you know, I'm just tired of the wokeness and, you know, black this and black that and black this. And, you know, someone has an encounter with white people, with a white person. Oh, you see that? White people think they all that. No, come on, y'all. Y'all need to stop this mess. Come on. Really? But see, now I got to drop the Salvation Army. Y'all ain't getting a dime from me. And I hope you all do hear this. And I don't care what you think. Let me go here. I wanted to talk about the Ahmaud Arbery case as well. Ahmaud Arbery case. And, of course, you all know the three suspects, they have been charged with his murder. And I want you all to really listen to me carefully right here. Please listen to me carefully. First thing, Ahmaud Arbery was not just out there jogging. He wasn't just, nice day to jog. And then these three white men came and lynched him. He was not lynched. Okay, let's get that squared away. Now, having said that, I will say this. They should never have confronted him. If they had a problem with Ahmaud Arbery, because they said he fit the description of someone was in a house and whatever, they should have said, okay, we're going to keep our eyes on him. We're going to call the police, and we're going to say, okay, this guy, we think he's suspected of breaking into this house. It was a house that was being repaired, and he fit the description. They should never have encountered him. People say they were trying to make a citizen's arrest. You cannot make a citizen's arrest unless you are absolutely sure that this person has committed a crime. These guys weren't sure of that. They should never have confronted him. But having said all that, I saw the video of Ahmaud Arbery. Two guys, they stopped their truck. Ahmaud Arbery ran up to the truck, grabbed one of the guy's guns, and that's when he got shot and killed. Now, people say it was a lynching. It was not a lynching. This case had nothing to do with Ahmaud Arbery being black and these guys being white. Nothing at all. Now, I will say that the two men who encountered him, who confronted him, they were in the wrong. I'm going to just say that. But everybody's like, they're celebrating. Celebrate good time. Come on. Because, you know, the white people, justice was served because they lynched this black man. He was not lynched. He was not murdered. I'll go so far to say that. He was not murdered. Now, if you got a gun in your hand and someone is trying to grab the gun away from you, what do you think they're going to do if they do wrestle that gun from you? See, right then and there, when Ahmaud Arbery grabbed that gun, he was in possession of a deadly weapon. And the owner of that gun shot him, because if Ahmaud Arbery had gotten that gun from him, he probably would have done the same thing to him. I don't think Ahmaud Arbery would have been like, man, get this gun out the way and throw it down on the ground. Now, listen here, you white people. I'm just out here jogging. Nah, I believe Ahmaud Arbery would have been like, okay, I got your gun now. Now, what you going to do? Huh? 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 Bam, 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 bam. But everyone's celebrating. Oh, justice has been served. Yeah, maybe, maybe. But this wasn't about race. This wasn't about some white people who encountered a black man and killed him for no reason at all. Yes, they did do some things wrong. And here's the thing that gets me, though. And I know people say this might have to do with the law or whatever. I still don't agree with it. The man who was recording the whole thing, he got convicted of murder, too. And I'm like, how in the world did he get convicted of murder? He was just filming the whole thing. But, of course, the woke crowd had to get in there. Had to get some pull in there. And that's why these guys could be going to jail for the rest of their lives. And I don't think they deserve to go to jail for the rest of their lives. Should they go to prison? Yeah, I'd say maybe a couple of years, maybe. But for the rest of their lives, no. Mm-mm. And you may disagree with me. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with you disagreeing with me at all. But that's just how I see it. And, Bring It Boy, yeah, I was about to get to that one, too. The Rittenhouse case. Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, once again, people, they smeared this boy's reputation, said, he's a white supremacist. He carried a gun over state lines. That's a lie. He didn't carry a gun over state lines. He carried himself over state lines and got the gun, which was already over state lines, and said he was there to cause trouble when... He fired, I think a couple of his victims, he fired at them only once. So if he was out there to shoot, they say he was out there to shoot black people. But here's the thing. Because of the George Floyd case, a lot of police are backing down, and plus people are calling for defunding of cops. So you're not going to have a police presence like you did before. Now, if somebody is committing a crime, but the police are not helping out, what are you supposed to do? How are you going to protect yourself? Just sit there and say, oh, yeah, just go ahead, burn, loot, steal everything. Oh, yeah, I bought this new PlayStation 5 for my grandson. But you want it? Okay, here you go. Nah. And that's all Kyle Rittenhouse was doing. Matter of fact, Kyle Rittenhouse, I think at least two of the suspects that he shot, you all can correct me on this, two of them he shot, he tried to offer them medical aid. And then you got some boneheads out there who went so far to say that Kyle Rittenhouse shot two beautiful black people. The people that Kyle Rittenhouse shot, all three of them were white. But because this involved a Black Lives Matter protest, you know them peaceful protesters, you know, who occasionally set off fires and stuff like that, you know, the Black Lives Matter. Because it involved a Black Lives Matter protest, all of a sudden we wanted to label this boy as a white supremacist, and he was not a white supremacist. Matter of fact, he even said he supports Black Lives Matter. And basically, he was there to help whenever he could, help people protect their property. Because one car dealership went up in flames. Of course, nobody's talking about that. You know, Michelle Obama gets up there and talks about, these are mostly peaceful protesters. Shut up, Michelle. Mostly peaceful protesters, and you got fires burning behind you. But Kyle Rittenhouse, he's not a white supremacist. You know, but we want to say that because He came to a Black Lives Matter protest, had the gun, and they're like, oh, he was going to shoot black people. Did he shoot any black people? Did he? I mean, he had every opportunity to do so, but he didn't. The boy protected himself. Two people attacked him. He was trying to run from them to go to a police line. They attacked him. One hit him in the back of the head with a skateboard. Another guy pointed a gun at him. And this the same person, he's the one that survived. He said Kyle Rittenhouse didn't shoot him until he pointed his gun at him. And that's when Kyle Rittenhouse shot him in the bicep. And according to the witness, said he vaporized his bicep. And he admitted that Kyle Rittenhouse didn't shoot him until he pointed his gun at him. Now, what was Kyle Rittenhouse to do? He's got a gun to protect himself. Oh, don't mind the gun. Just go ahead and shoot me. Go ahead. I mean, this is why I tell people, folks, you all stop getting your information from the mainstream media. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to them, but don't just take their word for it, because all they're after is ratings. And the more ratings they get, the more money they get. They're playing you for dummies. They're playing you for fools. They're playing you like a 10-cent flute. But y'all listen to them, because they keep pumping the same thing out every day. But we don't say anything about Zach Stacy. We don't say anything about that. We don't say anything about the parade crasher, Daryl Brooks. Oh, let's get into that one. Daryl Brooks had already ran his girlfriend over, broke her leg with the same vehicle that he killed six people at a parade. The same vehicle. Five of them were members of a troop called the Dancing Grannies. And another was an 8-year-old boy. But we don't say nothing about that. And you know, for a while, they wouldn't even show the man's picture. Now, if he had been white, they would have shown his picture immediately. And I was sitting there, me and my wife, we were sitting there like, have you seen the guy? Have you heard his name? I said, no, I ain't seen it or anything. I said, I guarantee you he's black. I guarantee you he is black. And sure enough, when they showed this picture, I said, oh my goodness, I hate being right. And I heard his name first before I saw his picture. And I said, Daryl Brooks, that sounds like a black name. And then they showed this picture. I was like, oh my goodness. Wow. And they said he was running from the police. That's why he ended up killing these people at this parade. He was trying to get away. Another story says he was trying to run from a knife fight. And how in the world do you run from how can you get stabbed by a knife and you're inside your vehicle? Not unless the window is open or something like that. And your vehicle's not running. But they said he broke through the barriers, because these barriers, they were little flimsy barriers. They weren't concrete barriers. They're little flimsy barriers. He broke through. He was driving slow at one point, and then he sped up. And I saw the picture of him mowing down these ladies in the Dancing Grannies. You're not going to sit there and tell me that was an accident. You're not going to sit there and tell me that. That was no accident. And it hasn't been confirmed, but I really do believe, and I could be wrong, that this was retaliation for the Kyle Rittenhouse case, because this happened like 55 miles north of Kenosha. And I find that to be too much of a coincidence. And this guy has spewed hateful rhetoric about white people in the past. But of course, once again, the news cycle, The only time you probably hear anyone saying anything about this is to say that this is a cause of, this is what white supremacists have done to black people. That's probably the only time you'll hear it, but you don't hear it on the news cycle like you hear about Ahmaud Arbery. Folks, I'm just saying. Yeah. It wasn't a black man that killed those people. It was the vehicle, you know, because the inanimate objects, you know, they can get possessed of the devil and then they'll go and kill people with no driver in them at all. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, bring it, boy. He admitted to not liking white people. Yeah. But, oh, no one says anything about that. Oh, no, but black people can't be racist. If you don't like white people, you're racist. But we can't be racist. And this dude, he's racist. And I really do believe he did this for retaliation of the Kyle Rittenhouse case. They say this dude has a criminal record that's about almost 50 pages thick. How in the world? But we ain't going to report on that because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't enhance our talking points about hateful white people attacking black people. But here's a black person who more than likely targeted white folks. And here's the thing. When he ran over his girlfriend with the SUV, the same one he killed those people with in the parade, you know he was in jail for $1,000. $1,000 bond. Got some parents. It was a shooting. I forget where it was. I didn't prepare for that. But it was a shooting where this kid killed 4 people this week. And now they're charging the parents for negligent homicide because they supplied him with the gun. As if they said, yes, son, go kill people. I don't think they did that. But somebody needs to get that lawyer who got Daryl Brooks bail whittled down to $1,000 for running over his girlfriend. $1,000. The man I mentioned earlier, Zach Stacy, guess how much bond they put on him? $10,000. I'm sitting there like, you kidding me? He threw his girlfriend into the TV. Put him up with $10,000 bond. But, oh, white people have all the privilege. White people have all the privilege. They get away with, and here's the thing. Zach Stacy, Daryl Brooks, they're black men, right? You know they're still alive, right? So where's this thing about, you know, if black people do the same thing that white people get off and they get sent to Burger King, but black people end up getting gunned down. Daryl Brooks didn't get gunned down. Zach Stacy didn't get gunned down. Folks, use critical thinking skills, please. Please use critical thinking skills. Because you just got people out there just flapping off at the yap. Trying to get a rise out of you. Trying to get an emotion out of you. And you're too stupid to sit there and think and say, wait a minute, DC Sniper, he didn't get killed, both of them. Daryl Brooks, he didn't get killed. Zach Stacy, he didn't get killed. So what's this thing about black people get killed in the same situation that a white person, they send him to rehab? Where y'all get this mess from? Anyway, I'm over the first hour. Let me go ahead and do my little advertisements. And when I come back, I will do my little shtick again and head to the phones. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, and of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Welcome back to the show. At the top of the hour, if you'd like to be a guest to call in, call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I covered a lot of topics in the last hour. And, boy, it was a mouthful. I don't know how people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and all the rest of these guys, I don't know how they do it. You know, that's why I admire them so much. They can fit in so much information, and I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of what I really needed to say. But anyway, let me do this. Man, I almost thought it was too cold for the fruit bats, but. My fruit bat alarm, you have been warned. If you're coming in here to commit acts of character assassinations or random insults, ad hominem attacks and excessive profanity, things of that sort, you best hang up right now, because if you don't, I'm going to do it for you. But having said all that, let me get here. Let me pull this one up. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, give me a second. I'll put my hair back down on my neck to hear that music fruit bat call.
Well, you should be a fruit bat, man.
I'm an honorary fruit bat, and I'm proud to be one. Yeah, this stuff that's been going on. So you mean to tell me Zach Stacy didn't get lynched for jumping on a white woman?
Nope. Certainly didn't.
Well, I'd be damned. Well, you mean to tell me that Emmanuel Sampson, 27, who sat in the white church, he's the only black person there. He came back to it several times. Then one time, he opened up fire shooting white folks. I'm sorry, it's a white church, not a black church. In Nashville.
And he's still alive.
Yeah. And he's a big one, too. I've seen his picture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't believe it. Sits in the back of a white church, then pulls out a gun and start opening fire and shooting white people. Talking about he's mad at what happened with Daylon Roofing, that the red, black, and green flag, the red on it remind me of their blood. Now, if that ain't racism, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, got to call a spade.
What about Timothy Simpkins?
Another one.
In Arlington, Texas, school shooter, 18-year-old. Mother and family bought him a $35,000 car charger, maybe $30,000, wearing a diamond earring and gold teeth. How did his book bag get in through the school guards and all that with a gun in it?
Yep. And keep in mind, he was being bullied. That's why, you know, they,
that little,
you know,
boy,
we're sorry,
you
son, you were being...
that little old boy, he picked him up
bullied.
And threw him worse than Zach threw his white girlfriend.
Yep.
I bet the kid wish he had a went through the wall because Simpkins came back in and shot him, I think, four times, then hauled off and shot some other people.
Yep. But and he's still alive, too.
Premeditated all the way.
How did that happen?
Kyle Rittenhouse bond $2 million or something. And he used the self-defense, people trying to kill him. Simpkins' bail is $75,000.
And they had a party for him when he came home.
Had a big party, man. Chicken
wings,
ranch dressing.
Yep.
Then, I mean, it's just so much you just can't keep up with.
Yeah,
but
you really can't.
You talking about injustice? White folks is being treated unjust in these courts, man. Especially the white male.
Yep. Because they have too much privilege. You know, we gotta dial it down a bit. You know, because we gotta compensate for their privilege.
Boy, I tell you the truth. Then you got the other stuff that goes on, boy. It's just so damn ridiculous. It is totally, totally ridiculous. And you talk about, I just read where the IRS printed out that the Trump tax cuts benefited the middle class.
Yep. Oh, how did that happen? Oh, wait a minute. No, it wasn't supposed to.
I thought he was benefiting the rich.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, for real.
I thought that would be over all the news.
Yep.
Then poor Chicago.
Oh, gosh.
Since Memorial Day, up until December 1st, which was 184 days ago, these clowns up here done shot 3,002 of each other. Blacks done shot 3,002 other blacks. Now, it might have been one Hispanic in there or something, but one thing, it wasn't no white police shooting because they left. Mm-hmm. Chicago was short 914 police officers, the last time I see. Red.
Yep.
3,002, man, with 390 murders. Can you imagine that? 180, that's like, hell, that's like 6 months.
Yep.
And if that's the halfway point, we're talking about over 6,000 people being shot.
Exactly.
And 780 murdered. Hell, that tops last year. 4,095 shot and 700 some odd murdered.
That's more than 2,000. That's 2,000 more than last year, come to think of it.
So where in the heck is the outcry? The Latinos and Hispanics is pushing blacks out of Chicago.
Yeah.
And all these people talking about is some damn reparations and stuff. all these killers and stuff, somebody had to pay for that. Hell, did they get reparations for that? The emergency medical technician had to come out? They have to stretch tape? Do investigations? That's putting a heck of a dent in somebody's budget.
Oh, yeah.
And it ain't all blacks now. But see, blacks don't tell on themselves. Matter of fact, any other ethnic group would have vigilante ran these folks out of the damn town.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. Talk about being African. Try some of that stuff over there in one of those countries.
Yeah. Yep.
Talking about walking the water, you'd be skating across the water to get back to the South.
I know that's right. That's what my wife was saying.
You
know, true. Yeah, my wife was saying that too because my.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my wife was saying that, and like I said, and you all know that my wife is from Africa. She's from Liberia, and she cannot understand why people in this country think this is such a bad country. You haven't been outside the country. But you want to talk about how bad the United States is. We're the only country when we go to the Olympics, our athletes want to bow in front of the flag instead of stand. You know, we're the only country that turns our back on the flag. And you don't know how good you got it in this country. When I was when I was in Washington, D.C. for Thanksgiving, I was over at my cousin's ex-husband's house. And I had another cousin there. And my wife was telling them about what she went through in Africa. You know, she was a prisoner of war, you know, had someone threaten to blow her hut up, you know, people firing rockets over the top of her hut and everything. And we want to talk about how bad the United States is, you know, this. And my wife said she longed for the day. She dreamed of the day she could make it to the United States of America. And she comes here, and she's like, wow, you people, y'all don't know how good you got it. You sitting here, you want to sit here and talk about, you know, the price of gas, which, yeah, gas is ridiculous and everything. But you all want to talk about how racist the United States is? Come to Liberia. Come to Liberia as a white person and think and try to become a citizen of Liberia. And you'll see just how racist the United States is, you know.
Yeah, so, some good old Charles Taylor.
Yeah.
And General Butt Naked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you know what Charles Taylor's motto was, don't you?
Let us know.
His campaign motto was, he killed my ma, he killed my pa, but I'll still vote for him. That was his campaign motto. And not only that, you got Liberians in this country who are talking about, man, we need to vote for Charles Taylor. My wife is sitting there like, y'all got to be outside of your minds. Do you all know what Charles Taylor did to Liberia? They're like, no, he'll be a good president. He'll be better than what we got. I'm like, see.
Well, you know, if blacks
kill my palm, but I'll still vote for them.
If them athletes at the Olympics, like that one girl, that one woman that was the shock putter, didn't want to listen to the American national anthem when her dumb butt came in third, what national anthem you think you're going to hear, fool?
I mean, really? Oh, they set me up, Gwen Berry. They say the darker
the two white girls, the one white girl came in first place. She's American.
Yep.
Dummy.
Yep. She probably was mad because them two white girls beat her.
And if you hated Americans so bad, black athletes, then why didn't you defect? Defect with one of those teams.
Exactly.
Use your political asylum. Defect. That's the way Yasiel Puig did, the outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He defected.
Yep.
He didn't want to go back to Cuba. He defected.
Mm-mm. Yep.
What's that other pitcher name that done the same thing? Chapman. He done the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He defected to the U.S. So if you don't like America, go defect when you're in those positions. You just walk on over to the other team's side and say, hey, I'm one of y'all. I ain't going back to America. Where's the black caravan headed down to Mexico, wanting to get away from the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Or the black caravan headed across the pond back to Africa.
Oh, no, no, because Nigerian said, if given the chance, we're going to sell your asses again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We will sell you again. So nobody likes to talk about that.
No.
I mean, but nothing you have said was not true.
Mm-hmm.
Just like people still is so ignorant. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse, his mama took him over state lines, across state lines. That seemed like the only intelligent conversation. I tell you what, you want to hear a professional interview? Listen to the one that Kyle had with Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson. Yeah, yeah. That was good.
No uhs and no ahs and no you know what I mean two times in a row.
Yeah.
The young man is a hero. Well, anyway, let me... It's getting dark out here, and us fruit fly bats can't see too well, so let me get off from here.
All right, make sure your echolocation is in order so you can catch the mosquitoes, okay?
Well, I had it calibrated the other day. I see you. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I got you there. All right, let me get this other caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Is that me?
Yep, that is you.
Man, I come out and hear the mute thing, man. What's this, some kind of conspiracy? Unmute it, I didn't hear it. All right, man, look here, I'm going to tell you something, man. First of all, you said no undue profanity. Well, I feel like being profane. I feel like getting out a little bit of profanity out of my system. You mind if I do it there, Brother Vince?
Okay, well, I warn people, if you got the children listening, turn them away from the radio right now. Get it out.
Woke, progressive, Democrat, Stacey Abrams. I figure I don't want to upset your sensibilities too much. Oh, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Let's go, Brandon.
Hey, look, you got to stop that profanity now, okay? Any more like that, and I'm kicking you off this show.
Man, I'm telling you, man. Look here, man. You know, let me add on to what Brother Bianchi said, because we got to get that 1-2 punch up in here. Look, man, first of all, let me kind of take a little bit exception to you, my brother, about what you said about the Ahmaud Arbery case. Well, actually, it's a Travis and Gregory McMichael case and that other guy, their partner, Rowdy, what's his name? But now, first of all, I want to acquaint you with what the Georgia citizens arrest law was at the time of the incident, because remember, that's the only one that matters, not the one they changed it to, but what the law was at the time.
Okay.
This is what it said.
Yeah.
It's Georgia Criminal Code, Title 17, Chapter 4, Article 4, 17-4-6, grounds for arrest. Now, and it says, a private person, which is what Travis and Greg McMichael were, may arrest an offender if the offense is committed in his presence, and now listen to this, this is key, or within his immediate knowledge, if the offense is a felony, which, by the way, in the state of Georgia, burglary is, and the offender is escaping or attempting to escape, a private person may arrest him upon reasonable grounds of suspicion. Now, you understand that is not probable cause.
Okay.
Lower standard than even probable cause. Now, I will accept the argument that perhaps they were imprudent, but that's a separate argument from whether or not they had grounds to arrest them in the first place. Now, see, the jury didn't want to accept their justification for approaching them in the first place. They didn't want to accept it. Now, since they didn't accept that, since they didn't believe they had grounds to effect an arrest, then obviously you can't legally make a self-defense claim because you are you are the aggressor. In the state of Georgia, an aggressor cannot claim self-defense unless they withdraw from the aggression and they are again attacked by the person against whom they aggressed. So
yeah.
The jury didn't accept the fact they had grounds for arrest in the first place. I maintain that I think they may have, and I think they may have grounds for an appeal. We shall see if they appeal it. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that citizen arrest law in Georgia was a relatively low standard if the crime is a felony, and burglary is a felony. And what they said they thought he was doing could be considered to be a felony. So I just want to get that straight. Now, here's another thing, too, about the Almond-Aubrey case. Here's another thing, too, about the Almond-Aubrey case that the jury was not allowed to consider, and I think this is pretty significant. Now, in 2019 and 2020, now, remember, the judge excluded this from the jury being allowed to hear about as being unduly prejudicial to the prosecution's case, but this is what they weren't allowed to consider. Local convenience stores in 2019-2020 interview, Mr. Aubrey was known as, quote, the jogger for his repeated conduct and behavior of running up, stretching in front, and then entering several convenience stores where he would grab items and run out before he got caught. Cell phone video from other witnesses captured in 2020 revealed that Aubrey was confronted by store employees about his alleged thefts. I've seen those videos, by the way. And one of them, he got really nasty with the police officers who called to investigate. I mean, he had attitude up the wazoo. Those cops were on the verge of pepper spraying him and taking him into custody, and he just barely got out without them doing it because he was completely uncooperative and outright hostile. And, you know, he was convicted of illegally possessing a firearm at a football game. Was convicted of it, was on probation, and one of the probation officers that indirectly handled his case, who was probably familiar with his face and the way he looked, was Gregory McMichael. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just saying that there was a lot about this case people don't know, and when people say things like, oh, if you were black, you wouldn't be... folks, you know, I really hate that. There's a gentleman named Andrew Coffey IV. He was found not guilty on all counts of murder, to include attempted first-degree murder. What happened was Indian River County in Florida, deputies made a drug raid on his house in 2017, okay? Met drug raid, mm-hmm. had a warrant, and they're coming in there with a drug raid, early morning, 3 in the morning, drug raid. Now, his defense was, he invoked affirmatively at his trial self-defense because he said that he was invoking right self-defense because it was a tumultuous raid in the middle of the night, he didn't know who they were, so he started shooting at them. The SWAT officer shot back. His girlfriend, a woman named Arteria Woods, was caught in the crossfire and died. And he was charged with felony murder of Woods. Because the grand jury exonerated the two law enforcement officers at the grand jury inquest in her death. Now, Coffey blamed the deputies for his girlfriend's death and invoked his right to self-defense. The defense said that Coffey was asleep. He thought the flashbang was gunfire, so he fired his guns. He thought he was under attack, okay? And the jury bought it. Mm-hmm. He shot at cops, police officers, sheriff's deputies. He was acquitted. They didn't kill him.
Nope.
He was acquitted. Black man. I'm looking at his picture. Dark-skinned black man, too.
Yeah.
And he got acquitted.
Can't mistake it. Yep.
Can't mistake it. Nope. The jury bought his verdict, his invocation of self-defense, and he's off the hook. Now, I'd like to get on to the next thing that you spoke about, because I think this is really beautiful. Not beautiful, but so illustrative of the corruption going on in the mainstream press today. It is staggering. It's beyond belief. They're already trying to memory hole this Waukesha incident with Darnell Brooks. I mean, they really are. They're doing their damnedest to memory hole it. Now, first of all, I didn't realize that in 2010, the Ford Motor Company was selling autonomously driving SUVs. But apparently, to hear the press coverage, you think they had them available back in 2010. Because it looked like, as you pointed out earlier, that that thing was autonomous and drove itself up through them people. Zigzag down the street and went down the street just racking people over. You notice he was zigzagging going down the street. And by the way, there was a police officer who attempted to bang on the hood of the autonomous SUV to get it to stop. That was the same police officer that wanted to be shooting at him as he was fleeing the scene. Because you can hear the shots as he's going by.
Oh, yeah.
The cop putting rounds up in the autonomous SUV. But they're trying to memory hole all this stuff, man. I mean, like that, all this. I got maybe 30 or 40. I went on YouTube and I screen saved and I put down the links to all his anti-white, black supremacist rhetoric. It's full of it. He had a YouTube page that was full of this stuff. YouTube took it down. I saved all the links to them so I can pull them up when people call me a liar when I try to point out what this guy really is. Because you know that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, you're a liar. You know, you're just an apologist for white supremacy or something. So I saved all this stuff. Where he says he's a terrorist. Where he says the white devils need to be exterminated. Where he says all these things. And it ain't just one or two. His rap handle is Mass Flyboy. That's the handle he goes under on Twitter. Yeah. I mean, I got dozens and dozens of this. There is almost no discussion of this. How did we ever hear the end of Charlottesville and Heather Heyer? And I've also now got statements from men who say that the guy who ran over Heather Heyer in Charlottesville was under attack when he did it. He was trying to flee. Mm. He was actually trying to flee an attack, apparently. Let me see if I got that.
No.
Let me see what this guy says. Yeah. An armed Antifa professor at the time, back in 2018, according to the Gateway Pundit, a guy named Dwayne Dixon, the University of North Carolina anthropology professor and leader of the armed Antifa group Redneck Revolt, admitted to chasing James Alex Fields Jr. with a rifle just before he drove into the protesters, killing Heather Heyer. Now, we never heard the end of this. Charlottesville?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Charlottesville?
Yeah. We still.
You know, I mean, one person killed. And of course he did it. He killed this white woman because he was a white supremacist. But here we got this black supremacist, fly at the center, also known as Mass Flyboy, up here running over and killing five people and putting 40 or more in the hospital with serious injuries. And they're already trying to memory hole it. And the racial angle is just about non-existent from the coverage. It's staggering, the hypocrisy and corruption in this media today. It is absolutely staggering.
Yeah.
And it's endless.
It is.
And you're not supposed to mention it.
And not only that, I don't know if you've seen the video on this is so funny. The video on YouTube with, I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Roland Martin.
Yeah, he's from Chicago, man. I debated the guy when I used to be a talk show host in Chicago.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'd cross horns with the guy a couple times.
Yeah. He's one of the
and a thorough liar.
Yeah, exactly. And he has this video on YouTube. I think I left the link in the show's description. And in it, it's this white guy who's running 2 miles with a flat panel TV, trying to prove that because he's white, nobody is going to stop him because he's running with a flat panel TV. And I said, now, what does this have to do with Ahmaud Arbery? Ahmaud Arbery didn't have a flat panel TV in his arms in the first place. This has nothing to do with him. And this white pastor, you know, one of these guilty white folks, you know, kissing up to Roland Martin, talking about, yeah, nobody stopped me or anything. You know, I ran 2 miles with this TV. Nobody questioned me or anything. And I'm sitting here like, y'all got to be kidding me. This ain't got nothing. This is comparing that with the Ahmaud Arbery case is comparing apples to oranges. Ahmaud Arbery wasn't carrying any so-called stolen merchandise with him. You know, I mean,
brother,
but I got the
look,
link.
Facts and circumstances never matter to the left. The issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. I'm giving you a perfect example. You said earlier in the show, you said you don't see what these folks in BLM have against the nuclear family. Well, I know you do know. That was just a momentary lapse because you know the reason.
Yeah.
We know the reason why these people have something against the nuclear family, because they are inspired by people from the Institute for Social Research that was set up by the Gramscians in the wake of the Second World War that established what were the major obstacles to the worldwide institution of Marxism in the wake of the hideous slaughter of the First World War. They couldn't understand why only one country turned communist. Or should I say Marxist? They couldn't figure out how come the proletariat didn't rise up and institute the dictatorship of the proletariat. They sat down and they started to identify why not. Because there were institutions that remained to be subverted that hadn't been subverted yet, and they had to start the busy process of doing exactly that. So here's what they did. They identified them. The most important ones, and they're not the only ones, I'm going to give you the five most important ones. Number one was religion. First and foremost, got to go after religion. Got to destroy the religious impulse. And number two, the family. Family must be replaced with the state. We must do all we can to undermine it. Number three is the idea of nationalistic pride and patriotic identity. Number four, the legal system. And five, finally, the military institutions. And along with a host of others. But those are the five first and foremost. And you notice the nuclear family is number two. That's what they have against it. It's one of the bulwarks that stand in the way of their implementing their totalitarian agenda. They must destroy the nuclear family and replace it with the state. They worship the state. Their sacrament is the worship of the state. You can see it in this abortion controversy with the wise Latina likening a child in the womb growing whom mothers often speak reverentially of being kicked by their child in the womb. And this wise Latina, this childless wise Latina says it is akin to touching the foot of a dead corpse.
Mm. Wow.
I'm telling you, man, these people are ghouls. They are hideous.
Yeah,
they intend to destroy all that is important and meaningful to us. And they don't care what they have to do it. They're trying to change the legal system. Look, they're trying to denigrate with Kyle Rittenhouse and to a much lesser extent, the Ahmaud Arbery case. They're trying to delegitimate the idea of citizens taking action when government refuses to protect you. You just pointed out the government wasn't protecting these institutions and these businesses and these people. They perimeterized Kenosha. They left the citizens inside that perimeter to fend for themselves. They weren't responding to calls. There were no EMTs or police officers going there to protect the EMTs when you called 911. You were on your own. People like Kyle Rittenhouse and others in the citizen militia that formed impromptu in order to deal with the vacuum left by the government, they sat up there and they did what they could to protect that community. And Kyle Rittenhouse, bless his heart, was one of them.
Yep.
And now with Ahmaud Arbery, they're saying, well, you got the police. What are you doing enforcing the law? And we witness all around the country, in all these blue states, all these George Soros-appointed prosecutors. What do? They sit up here and they refuse to enforce the law, or they get ridiculously low cash bails, and you get scumbag, pond scum creatures like this Darnell Brooks, who runs over his baby's mama and breaks her legs with a red autonomous SUV, get them out of jail to go out there and murder five people and injure dozens more. $1,000 to defend ourselves. They won't let the government defend us. They want us to be prostrate and helpless when they send their lumpen proletariat out to intimidate and terrify us. It ain't no accident.
Yeah, I mean, they keep saying it was an accident. It was a crash. No, it was bloody murder. I saw the video. You know, of course they cut it off before you actually hit somebody. But dude was aiming to hit people. He wasn't fleeing from some scene of a crime or something like that. He was aiming to kill people. And when my wife and I first heard about it, both of us, we had the same thought. We were like, he probably did this as revenge for the Kyle Rittenhouse case. 55 miles north of Kenosha, to me, it's too much of a coincidence. Too much
well,
of a coincidence.
Well, I'm telling you something, man.
No,
I got a link there. I put a link in the chat room to one of his rats. I got a whole bunch of the stuff, man, because I knew I'd be called a liar the minute I bought this up. So I put a link in it. You go up there and listen to one of his raps about him hating white people. And another one of them, he admits to being a terrorist. You got him on the rap thing saying, I am a terrorist.
Wow. But no,
but see,
he's not a terrorist.
They're trying to send it
because,
all
you know,
down the memory hole, man. You got to understand this.
Yeah.
They don't want you to know this. This corrupt media. And it's everything this guy says, is contrary to the narrative. The narrative says what? This country was founded on slavery, founded on white supremacy, is unremittingly oppressive and brutal of people of color, stole the land from the Indians, slaughtered them in a genocide, ran the Mexicans off of their territory, keeps them out of the country. All of this is essentially the narrative, the only one they wish to extol and elevate. And anything like Darnell Brooks is contrary to that narrative and must not be allowed if we can help it. We will do what we can to shut it up. We'll put idiots like Joy Reid and Joy Behar and fools like Cori Bush and Ayanna Pressley and Ilhan Omar and that senile old goat in a speaker's chair, Nancy Pelosi, and this idiot moron of a president. And they all say the same thing at the very highest level, to say nothing to cackling hand Kamala Harris. It's all a narrative, and it's all fake.
I mean, but you know what, Sarge, you, myself, Pianchi, a lot of other people, I think we are missing out on a major opportunity here. We're really missing out. You know, we could act like we're a bunch of idiots, and we could get paid millions of dollars like Joy Reid and Joy Behar and all the rest of them. I mean, I didn't know being an idiot could be so profitable.
Man, I'm telling you something.
I mean,
man, when I was
for real,
Chicago, man. when I was in Chicago, there was some folks there. They thought I was kind of sharp, you know, on the talk show thing, and they were trying to woo me over to their side. You're too smart to be up here with these white folks. You know they hate you. They don't want nothing to do with you and blah. And come on over to us, man. We'll set up a good thing. I said, I can't sell. Look, man, my spoon ain't long enough to suck with the devil.
Oh,
I can't do it.
Sorry,
I just can't.
Oh, my goodness.
And I regret one little bit, man. These people have the worst philosophy ever. Why? Because it is based on the most murderous philosophy that has ever existed in human history. That is Marxism and totalitarianism. That's what their basis for all of their beliefs and their actions is, even the ones that don't know a damn thing about Karl Marx. Their actions, the tactics they use, everything they employ, the propaganda they've used, comes directly from Marxism. And that is the same philosophy that killed over 100 million people in the 20th century alone. In 80 years.
No.
100 million
Sarge,
people.
Sarge, you got it wrong. Sarge, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. It was more people been killed by religious wars than have been killed by communism. That's what they say. More people have been killed by religious wars than communism. You know, so No. I mean, 100 million. If communism killed 100 million people, then religion probably killed 300 million.
Yeah, I know that. I know what to say. But I tell you this much, though. I tell you what. Yeah. On a year-by-year basis, given the fact that the first nation in the world to become communist was Russia, not the Soviet Union, but Russia, in 1917, given that Russia didn't fall until the 90s, in that 80-year span, I don't think anybody could claim a higher body count per year in ratio, rate-wise, than communism and Marxism. I'm sorry,
religious wars don't come close.
Communism only existed as a national institution starting in 1917.
Exactly.
We've had religious wars throughout mankind's history. So we got a long period of time to pile up body count. Communism, on the other hand, and Marxism had a relatively brief span of time to rack their deaths up, and there ain't no comparison. I don't care what they say. If they say otherwise, they know either nothing of history or they're liars.
Yeah, and that's what I tell people. Read up on the history of communism and the famine in China that was caused by communism, we look at that, they say, oh, they ran out of food. Nah, the communists held back the food from them, you know. And mass starvation.
Stalin
and a lot
did
of these...
the same thing in the Ukraine to the Kulaks.
Exactly.
The Holodomor,
exactly.
They called it. It was an induced famine because they wouldn't cooperate with the collectivization of the farms there. They didn't want to go along. They wanted to keep their private property. Stalin has said, oh, hell no. We send the KGB out. We're going to round you up. We're going to put you on. And it was induced. It was deliberate. 6 million people in the Ukraine starved to death. That was like what Hitler did. Kind of like what Hitler did, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I'm saying
it happens everywhere.
4 and 6 million, depending upon what source you're going. Minimum 4 million people.
Everywhere socialism touches, you know, what usually follows is massive poverty and massive starvation. I think Ethiopia.
Can you say supply chain shortages? Can you say higher gas prices?
Where could that be happening right now today?
We're not supposed to draw no proper conclusions now. Be careful now. Be careful now. It might just be Fox News trying to convince you of this.
it was kind of funny too when I was in Washington D.C. I was driving me, my wife, and my mom. We were going to D.C. to see my sister-in-law and my niece and nephews, and my mom was saying, Vincent, the cheapest gas is here in the ghetto. So I'm going to show you where this gas is. That gas was $3.17 in D.C. And the place where it was, I'm very familiar with it. It's in southeastern D.C., right off of Benning Road. It's a place that's not a very desirable place to live. And I said, oh, my goodness, this is cheaper than gas here in Durham, North Carolina. You know, I said, it's probably so cheap because people probably don't want to come around this part of town. But I guzzled down that cheap gas. It helped me to get back home.
Man, think about
the
Soviet Union, though, Vince. Soviet Union, man, has some of the most talented people ever in the world, even when it was some of the greatest scientific minds you'd ever want to see. The basis for technology everywhere in the Soviet Union, the basis. I'm not saying the implementation, but the basis. And yet they had toilet paper shortages in the go. You go in the store. There was a TV series called The Americans about Soviet spies living as a typical middle-class American couple. They were doing espionage in the United States. And one thing it showed was a typical Soviet supermarket. You know, and you're going through the supermarket, there's nothing on the shelf. Big, empty spaces with almost nothing on the shelves. And you got a country that's got some of the most potentially productive wheat grains in the world. The acreage on the Russian steppe to grow wheat is almost boundless. You know?
Man.
I mean, they got plenty of oil. They got brilliant people. But yet and still, many people are living in conditions that we find utterly unacceptable in the United States and even in much of Europe simply because they were under the yoke of communism. That's all. That's what was the reason for it.
Yeah.
Communism.
Yeah.
It just stifles and ruins. It puts everyone in more or less equal statuses of misery except, of course, for the nomenclatura and the elite who get all the benefits and they run everything over everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody says anything about that because in a communist and a socialist nation, it's the elites who live like fat cats and the citizens live like paupers. And nobody says, wait a minute, how come these guys are living so good, but we're sitting here, you know, and we're living, and people don't even realize this. And see, here's the thing. We live in the freaking United States of America, which means we can get this information anywhere. We got the internet. We got Amazon. We got libraries. But we're not taking advantage to really learn about what communism really is. Because I can guarantee you, a lot of these people out here crying about the evils of capitalism and whatever, if you ask them, okay, well, tell me, what is communism and why is it better than capitalism? They couldn't tell you. They couldn't tell you.
You know, Vince, people used to accuse me a long time ago when I talked about this is Marxist or communist. This will be, and they say, well, you don't know anything about Marxism and communism. What are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, they're right. I really haven't done enough studying on Marxism and communism. I think I need to better prepare myself with better arguments than I have right now. So I did. I even got the Karl Marx's Das Kapital. I got the Communist Manifesto. I started reading the history like the Black Book of Communism, which details the history of communist atrocities in great detail. You know, the world record of the murderous process throughout history from 1917 to 1990. I looked in all the countries. You know, there's only two official communist countries in the world today. Ain't that a trip?
Cuba.
Only two.
Cuba and China.
The Chinese People's Republic of China, okay, number one. Number two, North Korea. Three would be Cuba. Cuba's still official communist. And believe Vietnam, all they're getting away from. That's it, four.
Yeah.
Four. How many did it used to be? Something like 40?
Yeah.
None of them officially communist anymore.
You know what I can't understand? We heard all this stuff about the Central Park Five.
Oh, boy.
But we ain't heard nothing about the Forest Park St. Louis Five jock who attacked a white jogger.
Oh, I ain't never heard of that
custody,
one.
Teens in custody after jogger attacked in Forest Park. Then there was the Forest Park Three who attempted to attack this white off-duty sheriff deputy and his girlfriend as they was walking through Forest Park in St. Louis. One of them approached with a gun, and the two had their hands in their hoodie jacket pockets like they had a weapon. He lit down on all three of them. I mean, it was like death with Charles Bronson or something. Nobody talks about these.
I never
wonder
heard
why.
Of them. I'll be honest with you. I had never heard of them.
You ain't never heard of that?
No,
Holy cow.
I'm telling you. See?
And look how they write it up. Five teenagers are in custody after a brutal attack on a jogger at Forest Park. It happened just before 7 Sunday night on the western side of the park. Five teenagers. Well, they was black. So why don't they say five black teenagers after a brutal attack on a white jogger?
Yep. Too woke. Too woke. We got to stay woke. But a white cop guns down a black person, they say, yeah, a white cop kills a black person. You know, they make sure they get into the specifics on that one, you know, because, you know,
white cop with temples and Old Spice.
Yeah.
Here's the other story.
Exactly.
One of three would-be robbers raised a pistol while his two friends pretended to hide guns under their clothes late Monday night at Forest Park Grand Basin, police say. Don't make me kill you, one of them told an off-duty St. Charles County sheriff deputy after approaching him and his female jogging partner, authorities say. The deputy announced he was a police officer and opened fire, killing Antonio Nash, 18, and wounding the two other men in what police say appeared to be a justifiable shooting. You know, it's something about this stuff. When you white and you defending yourself, it always appeared to be, seemingly, especially when you're defending yourself against a black person.
Yeah.
Now, these two that survived should be charged with murder.
They should.
Because they were participating in a first-degree robbery and armed criminal action that caused the other two to get shot and one killed.
Wow. I never heard of that. I tell you. Maybe I need
you know, it's true.
Maybe
that,
I need
to
talk
about
my efforts. We should be grateful, though, that people are awakening to what happens when Democrats start running these blue cities. We're looking at this lawlessness that's reigning everywhere in these big blue cities, in San Francisco, in Oakland, in Los Angeles, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in New Jersey, and you name it, wherever Democrats are running things, wherever George Soros-appointed attorneys have been installed, you are seeing lawlessness to a degree that you've never seen before. Because now, here's the one thing that is different about it that is different about in past eras. It is lawlessness with impunity. And that's what's frightening about it.
Yeah, exactly. Let me get this last caller on here, and got a few more minutes left in the show.
It might be a fruit bat. Wannabe.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
No, I'm not no fruit bat. But you know what, Vincent? You a fruit bat because you don't respect your elders. And I was getting ready to cut you off because the show's already off, and he ain't even got me on and everything.
What's up, Iredell?
All right, how you doing, man? Yeah, I've been enjoying the show and everything, and here are the meeting and the minds of you and the other guys and everything, you know. And you know what, man? I hate to say this, but we got a lot of problems in this country. But if I had to choose between living in this country and any other country, I'd rather be here, even though we do have lots of problems. So if we got lots of problems over here, can you imagine how many problems in the other countries? We won't even talk about communism and everything. And, yes, you know, you're talking about gas prices? Yeah, Yeah, they're trying to sneak communism over here, if you ask me, a little bit, these gas prices and everything. But I'm enjoying the show.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Thank you,
sir. Do you think that we are unfairly talking about black people?
No, you're talking about what's true. You ain't talking about, you know.
When I make reference, I say I know it's others, but I'm going to talk about what I know. Then you have to ask yourself, why come these stories ain't frontline news like they are? And why come they don't use the adjective when they describe these shootings and killings that's performed by blacks or whites?
That's true. But you know what? I've told Vincent several times, I don't totally believe the news media. I might believe the first third, the middle third, or the last third of the story. Because, you know, the media don't tell it like it should be. They let me put it like this. If I was an athlete and the media came up to me, they'll take some white and turn it black or take some black and turn it white. So I'll be very careful what I say.
Well, look, you know something, man? I got my sources still back in Cook County from my police officer days, and I'm telling you, a guy I'm in touch with just told me that according to the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, they've had 1,009 homicides thus far this year in Cook County, Illinois. Of course, the overwhelming majority of them are in Chicago.
Wow.
Out of those 1,009 homicides, now this was the day before yesterday, so I'm supposed to have gone up by a few, but, you know, still, let's say 1,009. Let's just say 1,000, round it off. That's how bad things are. Anyway, 1,000 homicides. Out of that 1,000 homicides, 96% of them are black and brown people. And out of those people who have been murdered, I believe they've identified 3 white offenders amongst those 1,000 homicides of black and brown people. Again, 3 white offenders. 96% of them, black and brown people, murdered by other black and brown people. And we go in a high dungeon over Ahmaud Arbery.
Yeah, yeah. See, that, and that's the thing. And see, that's what I'm saying. You know, and see, Christmas is coming up. So the news media, that I think they're going to start getting their packages ready, start, you know, getting their little snips and edits and everything here and throwing them packages at us, you know, because, you know, that's what they're good at. You know, I mean, I don't know if the news media is supposed to be telling us the news or if they're a gift wrapping service, because that's what they seem like to me. They basically give you what they think you deserve instead of what you need to hear. You know, and that's how I see that's just how I see the news media, and that's why I don't trust them, because they can tell you any, and we need to, like I said earlier in the show, we need to up our critical thinking skills, because we sit there and we think that person just telling us the truth, but a lot of us are too mentally lazy, intellectually lazy, to understand that person talking to you through your flat panel TV could be telling you a bunch of crap, and you need to go and check it out for yourself. In the Bible, they talked about a group of people called the Bereans in the book of Acts. I believe it's in the 17th chapter. And they said these people were more noble than anybody else, because when they heard the word preached, they would go home and search the scriptures to confirm the word that was preached. And that's what we need to do with the news media. We need to go to the libraries. We need to go to Barnes and Noble or Amazon or any of these other places. And we need to confirm that what we are hearing from the news media is the truth, because a lot of us, we just swallow everything that they throw at us, hook, line, and sinker. But I guess I'm done with my little rant there and whatever. I got a few more seconds left in the program. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Bring it, Boye, Bianchi, Sarge, and Iredale. Good to have you all on the show. Next week, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only, and I don't have any plans for next Saturday, but should have another edition. And tell your mama, your grandmama, whoever, come listen to this nondescript black man down in Durham, North Carolina, spouting off about, you know, the news of the day and current events and things of that sort. But anyway, I'm going to get ready to wrap this show up. Got something to do here as soon as I finish. But you guys, take care of yourselves. Keep speaking up for the truth. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you guys on the rebound. You all have a great Saturday.